Several weeks ago, we started a new series entitled having to do with real faith. What is real faith? What does real faith mean? And this series is basically getting down to the nuts and bolts of what we need to do in different areas of our life. And I said last week that real faith perseveres. And I said that we were going to use four words to develop this sermon. And the four words were decide, develop, ask, and direct. Now, we talked about decide last week that trials are going to come. Not if they're going to come, but when they come, the Bible says. When trials of various kinds come, don't be surprised. And then trials are varied. The trial you're going through and the trial your neighbor is going through could be two completely different things. We may go through different trials in life because God is molding us and shaping us into who He wants to spend eternity with. And your kind of shaping and my kind of shape might be a little bit different. So He's going to bang on us with a different hammer. All right? Trials demand a decision. We have to decide. You must decide to have a joyful attitude while you're going through trials. And many people I talked about last week, I said, how do you go through trials with a joyful attitude? And when you realize that trials come from God and you're going through a trial because you're a child of God, then everything works out for your good because you love God and you're called according to His purpose. So He's going to work everything out for you. Trials are varied and we should consider it your joy. Okay? The other things that we need to develop in this sermon series is we must develop an understanding mind. Okay? We must develop an understanding mind. Remember, our God is always sovereign. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're struggling with, no matter what our trials are, God's still on the throne and God's still in control. That's important to remember. We need to also remember that our faith will always be tested. Okay? Throughout our life, from the time that we get saved until the time that we go home to be with the Lord, our faith is always going to be tested to find out where you're at in your walk, where you're going in your walk, and where God wants you to be in your walk. But trials and hardships are the fiery furnace that God puts us through, that our faith must pass through in order to make our faith real. Okay? Having our faith pass through trials makes them secure, makes them solid, makes them dependable. Is tricky ground. Third, we need to develop a mind, our brains, the ones that think, that understands, that knows that every trial has a purpose. Now, when I was younger, when I was early in my Christian walk, when I went into a trial, my only goal in life was to get out of that trial, right? I just wanted it to be over. I just wanted it to be finished. But then I realized later in life that these trials are all there for a purpose that will train me, that will teach me, that will strengthen me and make me stronger. So knowing that these trials are going to strengthen my faith and bring me closer to God, I don't ask the question, well, how long is it going to take me to get through this anymore? It's how close am I going to go to God through this? What lesson am I supposed to learn in this trial that I'm going through? So here's the deal. God's goal for our lives, for all of our lives, is to become complete and mature in Him. That's our goal. While we're here on this planet, since we've been saved, our goal is to become as most like Jesus as possible. That's what God has got on our radar, what we're supposed to be looking forward to. Okay? To grow more and more into His likeness and the knowledge about who He is. So as we have been Christians for a longer period of time, as we read our Bibles and we study them, we should come to a better understanding of who God is, what God is, how He believes, what we should believe. Now, the problem comes in our lives when it comes to trials because this is not our goal, okay? Our goal, for the most part, and just to be honest, is, and just to put it out there on the table, most of the time when you get into a trial, you're looking for the exit, right? I mean, I know I was. I'm looking for them little red signs over the door saying, how do I get out of this? I mean, that was most of my life. Our goal is just to get through as quick as possible. Our goal is to fix the circumstances that God put in our way so we can go back to our normal. Well, God doesn't want us to go back to that normal anymore. He wants us to go back to a new reality. A new reality that's been forged and shaped by those trials. The way we planned it, the way we scheduled our life, the way we, from the time we were in high school, we had our whole life planned out. You know what the Bible says about people who make plans. People make plans and God laughs, right? But listen, if our goal in trials, then we're in for a frequent frustration when we want to just go back to our new normal. Endless anxiety, constant worry, and pure joy will never be on the table. Unless you're looking for, how does this grow me in God, and how is this molding and shaping me into what God wants me to be? But pure joy will always elude us if we're looking for the exit sign, to get out of the trial as soon as possible instead of learning the lesson and growing from it. But when our goal in our lives is to grow in the knowledge of God, to become closer to Him and be transformed into His likeness, then no matter how deep, no matter how dark the trial is, we know that our goal is indeed because we're becoming more like God. I mean, one of the most frustrating things in life is you lose somebody you really love and it hurts bad and you start grieving. But you need to realize that that grieving wouldn't come if you didn't love that person. And God loves you too. But when you're going through a trial, it's out of love that God is putting you through this because he's trying to move you towards the end zone, towards the finish line. Because we don't know how long God's got left, do we? Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be whenever. But God is moving us from where we're at now to where He wants us to be. It's going to be accomplished no matter what we think. God will reveal Himself to us and through us through those trials. And those trials, I mean, I was talking about loss a minute ago. You never realize how close God is until you are in the pit. Until you are really suffering, and then you realize just how close God is. Now, I don't recommend suffering. I don't recommend pain or loss, but we do have tools. God's plan in our life is to reveal Himself to us, and He will make us more mature and more complete. That sounds good, right? More mature, more complete. That's like getting an extra scoop of ice cream, right? We grow more into His likeness with every trial we go through. Now understand, God is more concerned with our character than He is with our comfort. In other words, we think it sucks when we're going through trials. The pain, the hardships, the disruption to our lives. But God is worried about what our character is. Okay? So when we stand before God someday, our character's squared away. It's kind of like the story I told you last week about Sprite and getting out of the spin cycle. Well, that's kind of like us. We are like Sprite in the washing machine, holding on for dear life sometimes. But God put us there. Okay, He put that trial in your life right now. Think about the trial you're in right now. Think about what you're going through. It could be small, it could be major, it could be huge. But just think about it for a second. Kind of get it in your mind, a trial that you're walking through right now. What's your goal in that trial? That's what you have to ask yourself when you realize you're in one. All right? I don't know what God's purpose is in this, but I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to read my Bible, and I'm going to keep my head down, and I'm going to see where God's taking me on this, right? So what's your goal? Just to get through it? If your goal is simply to fix the circumstance, if your goal is to do whatever it takes to get that situation over with or changed around so something it's more to your liking, we never like trials, do we? I can't remember one that I've ever been through. The reality is it may happen to you, and most of the times it won't, particularly not exactly the way you planned or hoped it would. Yeah, everybody understands you're going to go through certain trials in your life. God is moving you along a line towards a goal. And even if it does, then something is coming around the corner. I mean, you may not be going through a trial right now. But if you're not, you need to catch your breath. You need to get some rest. You need to focus because one's coming. That's always the way it is in life. If you're not in one, one's coming. Lord, I know that God is sovereign. I know you're in control. But can you give me a little bit of a breather, right? I mean, that's us. That's what we're thinking. I just got through this one, Lord. Can you give me a little time to recover before I hit the next one? But that's a radically different way to live, to try to understand what God wants to do in our lives and how God is molding and shaping us. It's a distinctively Christian way to live. This is pure joy in trials. People will be looking at you and like, didn't this car just break down? Didn't you have to borrow somebody's car? Why is he so happy? Because God is moving him towards something. There's the bottom line. Trials are joy when God is our goal. When God is our goal and reaching God, knowing God is our goal, we did catch that, right? Trials are joy when God is our goal. When we believe that the knowledge of God and intimacy with God is surpassingly satisfying, then trials, which cause us to trust God, to look to God, to focus on God, to lean on God, and pursue God, are really a good thing. It's really pure joy when we're that close to God. I mean, the closest times that I felt that I've been to God is when I'm going through something difficult. God never felt closer. There was a guy named Malcolm Muggeridge. Say that name fast 3 times. He said it better than anybody else I could probably put it. He said, contrary to what might be expected, Muggeridge said, I look back on my experiences that at the time seemed especially devastating, or something extremely difficult and painful, with particular satisfaction. Indeed, he says, I can say that with complete truthfulness, that everything that I have gone through and everything that I have learned in my 75 years in this world is that everything that truly enhanced and enlightened my existence has been through affliction and not through happiness. Did you catch that? Whether I pursued it or attained it, he says, everything that has been beneficial and helpful in my life happened through a trial. Now think about that for a second. If you're trying to get to that next level, that closer intimacy with God, how does it happen? Through trials. Now this does not encourage us if our goal is just to get out of the trial, fix the circumstances, right? But it's not very encouraging if that's our goal, to just get out of it. But if our goal is to have a deeper knowledge of God, to understand the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and we are growing more in His likeness, then trials drive us towards that goal. And we can consider them pure joy because we know what we're being transformed into. Decide, develop, ask, and you must ask God for wisdom. Now, why? How many of you in here consider yourselves smart? Not me. All right, there's one or two in here. But I stick my foot in it all the time. I'm like Peter in the Bible. I'm all the time messing things up. Ask God for wisdom to consider trials pure joy. The wisdom to look at what you're going through and see the bigger purpose in it. In these verses, James appears to be answering a question. You're saying, Pastor John, well, what was the question? And he anticipated this question would be asked by his readers. Okay, James, I hear what you're saying. I mean, it even kind of makes sense to me, right? As you're listening to me talk about it, it kind of makes sense. And the idea of becoming sure and complete and not lacking in anything is pretty appealing, right? Because that's what it says. That you and the trials are going through, they're going to make you mature and complete. The idea of being mature and complete, not lacking anything, sounds good. But you're saying, Pastor John, I've been in this deal for like 10 years now, and I'm not mature and I'm definitely not complete. What about me? What about the average Joe on the street? What about the normal guy who's just become a Christian or has only been into it for a few years? So what do I do in the meantime? What do I do while I'm waiting? I'm not spiritually mature yet. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives liberally or generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Think about it. You can ask God for wisdom. Now, wisdom isn't smart. Wisdom is wisdom. All right? Knowing the difference between this and that. Now, it's significant to note what James didn't say. Okay? Because whenever I look at a Bible passage, I see what they're saying, and I notice what they didn't say. Now, it's significant. He didn't say, if you lack wisdom in your child, consider it pure joy when you go study philosophy at college. Didn't say that, did he? Or, consider it pure joy as you pick up the latest self-help book. Or go meditate. Or go get advice from someone who's smarter than you. No, James didn't say any of those things because wisdom, the wisdom that we need, doesn't come from books, doesn't come from YouTube. If you're not getting it out of the Bible, it's probably wisdom you don't really need. But it's only available from God. That's the wisdom that we need. Godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom, because this world is all jacked up. So who are we to ask? God. Always ask God for wisdom. In the Greek, it actually says to actually ask the giving God. Ask the giving God for wisdom, and he will give generously. What a description of our God, right? The giving God. Give us wisdom without finding fault. In other words, he's not going to say, what do you need the wisdom for? You need to explain it to me before I give it to you. No, he just says, ask for wisdom and I'll give it to you. He says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave on the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Such person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in everything they do. Ask in faith. In other words, when you ask, ask believing that you're going to receive it. Believing that God is good. God's good, right? God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good, right? Believing that God is wise, that he has the ability to bestow wisdom on you. Believing that he is the God of the universe, that he sits on the throne, and that he's got it under control. But you must direct your focus to your ultimate prize, and that's where we come in to direct. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Why is it so special that we persevere? Well, one, it tests our faith. Having stood the test, it says, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Crown of life, James 1:12. Now, when we hear this crown language, we don't picture... Don't picture some big gem-studded, you know, Pope crown that's got like five layers and all these stones around it. And no, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the victor's crown. A crown that after you got running, done running a marathon, they slapped on your head. It was made out of laurel leaves. But it let everybody know that you endured, you survived, and you did it better than anybody else. When you were running, you didn't give up. You kept plugging along. And you got the victor's crown. Now, when we hear this crown language, don't picture that. When they heard the crown, they would immediately have thought of their minds gone to the wreath. Kind of a laurel wreath with the, it was put on the head to identify, and you got to keep it until the leaves started falling off. That would look kind of stupid, right? Over the head of an athlete as he's, after he's competed in a race, after he's been victorious, after he's been in some kind of competition to compete, and this crown would be put on him. So that's the picture. You've won. You've endured. You've completed something. Not some king in a flowing robe who's just an athlete who's been through it, right? The crown's been put on his head. And the picture at the end of this race is that through trial after trial, starting with training, through trial after trial, he endured. And he competed. And he won. He faced his challenges, and he overcame them. There's an eternal life thing that's at the end of this goal waiting for us. So when we get to heaven, we get our crown, our Stephanos crown. Okay? experienced in abundance. There's not going to be no lack of crowns up there. But this is where we're reminded in our trials that you and me, brothers and sisters, this world is not our home. Because you're not going to get your crown down here, are you? Can't toss it at Jesus' feet if he's not here. And we're living for a reward coming. I know it sucks having to wait. But hey, and this gives us great joy in the midst of trials. The reward is coming. It's not here yet. But I know that God sits on the throne and he's got it under control. This is how we can face the worst. The most devastating circumstances in this room, because we know that this world is not our home. No matter what we're going through, from being burnt at the stake to you know, being persecuted because you're wearing a Christian t-shirt or a cross, no matter what trial we're going through in life, we know that this world isn't our home. That we do this for what's coming, not for what's here. And there's coming a day when God himself will share the completeness, where we will be mature and complete, not lacking anything. There will be glory with him, a crown of life. Trials remind us that we're living for another reward. Not this one. This life is just a proving ground. You put those together, you add them up, and brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, because I don't want this to sound trite. I don't want it to sound like I'm being flippant about it. And I know there are trials represented in this room that I can't even fathom. Things that you are going through personally. But that's my job, is to be here to encourage you, to support you if you need it. But the only person that can handle your trials is you. You with the strength given to you by God. But listen, I want to encourage you to not waste your trials. Don't just look for the exit. Don't just look for the get out of jail free card. Okay? Understand what you're in. Understand why you're in it. And understand why you're going through it. And then you'll have joy in your trials, because you understand that God is trying to draw near to you. And if you draw near to him and ask him, just keep asking him over and over and over him to give you wisdom so that you understand what you're going through. Draw near to him. And buy him resources that he provides. Look around. This is a resource right here. I may have never gone through this trial before, but maybe he has, or maybe she has. And I can go ask advice to them and say, hey, when you went through this trial, what did you learn? What were you going through? What was God trying to teach you? We can learn from our brothers and sisters, but we need to rely on the wisdom from God. Keep our eyes focused on the reward, okay? The reward's always good. Crown of life, all right? That's what we're shooting for. Have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing some more. Dear Lord, I ask you today to help us to understand that when we're going through difficult times, that it's not punishment. It's to help us grow, to help us see the sunrise, to help us to get through the dark and into the light. Help us to be your hands and feet. And Lord, I thank you so much for the people on Thursday who packed up some Christmas boxes and gave of their time to come out and clean the church or pack boxes. Lord, we just ask a blessing upon them for the many hours that are put in here at the church, unbeknownst and unseen by other people. And Lord, we just ask you to continue to bless us, bless this church, and allow us to give you all the praise and all the glory in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Next week, we're going to continue on. And I don't know if I'm going to end up having to bust these up into two-part sermons or not.